You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire. Smoke. Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
This is the Roto Experts in the Morning. Alongside the fantasy executive, Corey Parson, the king, Scott Engel, and Wall Street, Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman, and at some point, I'm going to have to start calling this the season of the king, because I sit here, and I listen to his predictions each and every day on this show, and some I agree with, some I disagree with, some I laugh at, and some I shriek at, and yet, almost all of them this year have just been spot on. Scotty, good morning.
Good morning. Which one are you referring to?
I'm referring to the fact that you went on record and said the Jets are going to win their first game in week three. And you know what? They did. You went on record and said, Seattle, your team, the one you wear a hat of every single day on this show, they are not going to beat Tennessee. You could take that to the bank. And they didn't. You are just a grasp of the NFL right now that is on point.
Well, I appreciate it, but, you know, you don't always get everything right. I mean, I didn't call Case Keenum and Blake Bortles combining for 7 touchdown passes, or DeMarco Murray's hamstring, not preventing him from having a 75-yard run. So
I blamed it on Dr. A.
Yeah, so listen, you didn't get that wrong either. So I'm not saying no one predicted Blake Bortles and Case Keenum, but you went out on a limb and said a winless team was going to get their first win. You went out on a limb and said a road favorite, your favorite team, is not going to have a good one against Tennessee. And you nailed it, man. So just appreciate it, accept it, be happy.
I appreciate that. How was your weekend?
My weekend was wonderful. It was beautiful in New York City. On Saturday, I walked like 10 miles all the way downtown, or back and forth 10 miles. I went kayaking for free in the Hudson River.
Wow, that sounds fun.
You're bold and brave.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm still here. I don't have a rash yet, so I think I'm okay.
Yeah, I just relaxed Saturday. Just went to the Met game Friday night, relaxed on Saturday. Football yesterday. My wife and my son actually went to like an art festival in the city, though.
I'm sorry?
They went to an art festival yesterday
what
in the city.
What kind of art festival?
I don't know a whole lot about it, but it was like it's like an annex to the Modern Museum of Art off of Times Square.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Mr. Modica, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well on this Monday morning. Some things I got very right yesterday. A couple things I got wrong. And we can discuss that as the morning grows.
Oh, we certainly will here this morning. You know, it was, I have to say, by far the most fun week of football that we've had here in 2017. You know, it ended very, very poorly at 1 o'clock for my personal team. But it was fun, man. There was a lot of awesome games.
Oh, Patriots-Texans game. Ooh. Yeah.
So there was a lot of really awesome finishes at that 1 o'clock window, which was awesome. 4 o'clock window was less exciting. It's funny because in Survivor yesterday, you know, my two teams.
Well, if you had Kareem Hunt, it was pretty nice.
That's pretty fun. You're absolutely right. that 4 o'clock game. It's funny because yesterday in Survivor, I had the Patriots and I had the Packers, and both really came down to the wire. And I was like, because I went in saying, "Hey, I'm going to just take the team that it's a given I'm not going to win. I'm not going to mess with the Dolphins or something like that. Just give me the Patriots and the Packers." And both were down very, very late. And I kept saying, you know what? I have the best two players in the NFL. I'm going to win. I did. And so did you. Road Rush for the morning continues right after this.
Are you new to Daily Fantasy? Are you a veteran? Either way, you can better your chances of winning money and lots of it by going to DailyRoto.com. Multiple people have become millionaires thanks to the guys at Daily Roto. Why not take advice from the experts? You can become a millionaire too. Just go to DailyRoto.com to rock daily fantasy sports.
So we're back here, Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And let's begin, gentlemen, shall we? And we mentioned during the break, Scott Engel, you are no longer in Survivor.
You lasted 2 weeks.
2 weeks, yeah.
Scott Angle Survivor Power Rankings are over.
Can we get some TI Dead and Gone?
You still do it. Why should anyone listen to you? You lost. I mean, you've been a winner all year, and then you lost. I can't. You know.
I may have to take that segment.
We may have to give it up to somebody else now, unfortunately.
You still got it, Scott. I'm only.
You can see the depression in his face. He's so upset.
Looking forward to this every week. I'm very upset at the Denver Broncos.
You know, it's funny because a lot of people actually expected Buffalo to show up. I read a lot of people that were all over Buffalo this week with the spread. It's interesting. A lot of the, I don't want to say sharps, but there's a lot of people that throw their picks out on Twitter that I happen to follow. They got a lot right this week. They're all in on Buffalo. They loved Washington. They really like Cincinnati. Those are the three teams that I saw just a lot of love for yesterday.
Well, the underdogs were, 12-3 yesterday?
So many road favorites.
Now there's another road favorite tonight.
Yeah.
RJ Bell tweeted out the 5 most lopsided bets, and all of them lost.
Yeah.
So it's always good to be the house.
It is always good to be the house. Let's talk about some of those major survivor picks from yesterday, shall we? And we're going to start in Buffalo and Denver because, you know, whatever, it's kind of Buffalo and Denver. It wasn't that exciting. I want to start in Green Bay and Cincinnati because I thought there was a lot to talk about there. So it was a game where coming in, we knew Randall Cobb wasn't going to play. Jordy Nelson practiced all week despite being out all of last week. And, you know, at least from my perspective, I was kind of waiting for him to just take a bad hit, for him to come up limping, because I thought he kind of rushed back a little bit. And Green Bay never looked like themselves in that first half, taking 5 sacks into Aaron Rodgers. And then all of a sudden, in the second half, he proved once again how he is unlike any quarterback I've ever seen. Their adjustments were excellent. His ability every single week to catch team offsides and throw a touchdown bomb or something close to it is remarkable. His ability to escape is incredible. Aaron Rodgers, like I said, unlike any quarterback I've ever seen. And Jordy Nelson, you know, we said in the preseason that, yes, you like Jordy Nelson. Some people had him as a top 5 wide receiver. Other people had him as a top 10. And a lot of that was ultimately because there's no way this consistency in the red zone could continue. It just wasn't possible. And yet, there he is, Scott. Every time they go down the field, Aaron Rodgers finds Jordy Nelson in the red zone. 2 touchdowns yesterday.
Yeah, what the quad did was, and inside injuries talked about, it was just a matter of him staying loose. He didn't break a big play. You didn't see a 50-yard reception or anything like that, but he was still there for the key plays. And that's why Jordy Nelson is ranked so high in the preseason. By a lot of fantasy experts, you know, who watched him, because they know that if he doesn't break the big play, he's going to make, doesn't break the explosive play, he's going to make the clutch play.
Jordy Nelson got his feet down, of course, sent us in overtime. Like I was saying, I had the Green Bay in Survivor yesterday, and I'm going to be totally honest. At no point, despite the Packers being down a touchdown with 2 minutes to go, was I even nervous. I really wasn't. I had seen the show before, and I had Aaron Rodgers on my side. And Jordy Nelson was very, very good yesterday. I felt like, even though Lance Kendricks only had 3 targets, I felt like he was featured yesterday, at least to me. Martellus Bennett's been a bit of a bust here this year. He dropped a bunch of passes, I thought. And then you get to the big wide receivers, other than Jordy Nelson, of course. Devontae Adams at 3 for 60. One of them was a long play. One of them, he reached the 1-yard line, didn't get it in, was targeted 6 times. And without Randall Cobb, it really was Jamal Allison playing the Randall Cobb role, running the same exact routes that Cobb runs. And, of course, in overtime for that 72-yard reception, Allison finishes the day, 6 receptions, 122 yards, and 8 targets. And, Matt, the Green Bay Packers play on Thursday night this week at home against the Chicago Bears. I don't know if Randall Cobb will play. I don't think anybody does at this point. If he does not, what can we expect from Geronimo Allison on Thursday? And, of course, the second question of that is, how much is it worth it to go out and get Geronimo Allison?
Well, like, one thing you have to look at here is the Packers should have lost that game, first off.
Sure.
But Geronimo Allison getting the love, I mean, if Randall Cobb is not going to be in there, the trust, that's the key word I'm going to look at. Getting Aaron Rodgers' trust is what you basically want. And yesterday, he showed that. I mean, 6 receptions, 122 yards. Yes, one came on about 72 yards on that one play or something. I would be picking him up. I said last week, I mean, I wouldn't have gone crazy, but to put a bid in for him, just because Aaron Rodgers is his quarterback, you're in that offense. And as far as Jordy Nelson goes, dating back to last year, his last 17 touchdowns, 11 of them have occurred inside the 10.
You know, it's interesting because maybe it's that heat I still feel for Randall Cobb. That was why I was very off him this past summer, admittedly so. And a lot of people are on him. Corey was on him. And then I didn't get any of those Geronimo Allison that small bid this week because I didn't think the trust would be there. I thought we'd see a lot of Jordy, a lot of Devontae, an F-load.
That's the player, Devontae Adams. Are you a little, if you own Devontae Adams.
One second. And then an F-load of Ty Montgomery. You saw that F-load of Ty Montgomery yesterday, and you basically saw the reason that Jake Seeley hates PPR. 8 receptions, 15 yards for Ty Montgomery yesterday. He also rushed it for 35 yards on 12 carries. And this dude does not come off the field unless he's nicked up, which he's nicked up each game. Misses a play or two, comes back out, and doesn't come off the field. This is what we liked about Ty Montgomery in the summer. This is what we love about him now in September. But Matt mentioned it. Devontae Adams. His role is secure. I mean, he's the wide receiver on all 2 wide receiver sets. He's on the field almost every single play, and that's awesome. And yet, we have not seen him, Scott, you know, targeted 13 times or whatnot, be the primary option for Aaron Rodgers. Like, Rodgers gets him the ball a couple of times, but there hasn't been that consistency I know a lot of us hoped for when we were drafting him as a back-end wide receiver one, good wide receiver two. Are you a little bit concerned or even nervous when it comes to Devontae Adams?
I think my concern is he might not be a wide receiver one this year. He will be a wide receiver two. I think there are still some good games going forward. I think defenses sort of fear Adams, you know, and try to take him out. And then, you know, Rodgers can burn them with somebody else. If he's not open, you know, Geronimo Allison's going to be open. I think if there's anybody in the Packers I'd really be concerned about, it's just like, what was the last time the Packers had a relevant tight end? And Martellus Bennett is not looking like it. All of a sudden, Lance Kendricks, who we know will probably do nothing next week, is scoring instead of Martellus Bennett.
Here's the thing with Adams that I'd be concerned with. Except for the game where Jordy and Randall Cobb were both out, he's only caught 3 balls in the other 2. And look, he's still a good receiver. He's not going to be a dog or anything. Look, I was touting Terrell Pryor, who hasn't done anything, and I'm concerned after last night. But I think you have to have some, you know, he's got Aaron Rodgers, so I'm not going to be too concerned. But you have to be a little concerned because you were paying a high price for Adams.
You were. Now, you know, unfortunately, everybody else watched this Packer game just like you did. And they saw exactly what Devontae Adams was or was not. But he's going to have a big game. I mean, it could be as early as Thursday where he, you know, kind of explodes. And it reminds me of Doug Baldwin, who I was kind of expecting to explode at some point. But he's going to have this big game where it's going to be, I don't know when, it's going to be one of these 3 touchdowns, monster affairs. And at that point, I seriously look to make a move and see what you can get for a guy like Devontae Adams. Because I just don't see that consistency. Aaron Rodgers is there. You're not losing Aaron Rodgers, but that consistency does concern me here a bit.
Yeah, I think you're hoping that Randall Cobb is out and stuff like that. Because I agree, he's going to have his good games and stuff, but a lot was tied into the touchdowns as well. We had like 12 touchdowns last season. So, I mean, he needs to get close to double-digit touchdowns and stuff like that. But it's the Packers offense. You want to be involved in the Packers offense.
You want a piece.
The thing I don't get is, I mean, teams just have to start taking Jordy Nelson out inside the 10. I don't look at what I did. 11 touchdowns inside the 10, you know, dating back to last season. You have to take that guy out.
I don't think anybody's figured it out. I really don't.
You know,
it's unstoppable.
On that first touchdown yesterday, they had tight Cody and Jordy, and he kind of just slipped behind, like took 3 steps behind. He's sitting there wide open. And it's a bad job by that Cincinnati secondary.
Yeah, he's just awesome. I mean, the guy just gets it. He catches everything. But in all fairness, the Bengals should have won that game. And I tweeted out in the third quarter, on that third down, where Dalton got sacked and lost 8 yards and they missed a 48-yard field goal. That was the game right there. They could have put the game. They could have made it a 2-score game. They didn't. And if you give Aaron Rodgers time and give him opportunity, he's going to do it.
No doubt
Obviously
about it.
Obviously, they didn't deserve to win the game.
Let's talk about that team that didn't deserve to win the game when it comes to the Cincinnati Bengals and new offensive coordinator, Bill Lazor. Marvin Lewis comes out, I believe, right after the game. It's like, listen, Ken Zampezi had a good feel for our offense. We weren't getting it done. We needed to make a change. They bring in Bill Lazor, and let's be very clear, he did exactly what we kind of expected he would do with his offense, literally to a T. He got his best player the ball. A.J. Green, 10 receptions, 111 yards, and a touchdown, as we expected. He got his best running back the ball. 18 carries for Joe Mixon, 62 yards, 3 receptions for 39 yards. All we asked for is for coaches to give their best players the ball. Bill Lazor, Marvin Lewis did that yesterday. What can we expect going forward when it's not the Packers' soft defense? I asked Scott and Matt when we return. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Hey, this is Greg Sussman from the Roto Experts in the Morning, and listen, we could all use a little help sometimes. That's why I talk to three guys every single day that help me with my fantasy teams. But if you need help with your fantasy teams, and you probably do, you should purchase the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football In-Season Package, featuring weekly lineup ranks, chats with our experts every single day, and player cards for every player in the NFL, including reports from InsideInjuries.com. You cannot beat it. Don't set your lineups without checking the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge In-Season Package. So, Matt tweeted it yesterday morning, I believe it was. A lot of people said it. I don't want to say it was all Matt, to be fair. But he tweeted yesterday morning that if you're going to go trade for Joe Mixon, you're going to need to do it before this game happens. And a lot of people believed, myself included, that Bill Lazor was going to get the ball to his best players. And there wasn't a single analyst that said, don't play A.J. Green this week, that said, I don't expect a big game from A.J. Green this week. Everyone knew, as Roto World likes to say, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. Oh, yeah. Everybody knew it. And A.J. Green did.
I thought he'd get 19 targets.
Same.
He got 13.
Same. But his 13 was nine more than the next receiver or next pass catcher on Cincinnati. It was Tyler Kroft, backup tight end, that had 4. But Joe Mixon by far led this team in carries. He had 18 of them, compared to Jeremy Hill's 7, who did start the game. Well, I do want to note that. And Giovanni Bernard's 3, including 1 in the red zone. Bernard was in there at the end of the game. Mixon was in there at the end of the game. Had a major slip in the fourth quarter that may have cost the Bengals the game because he was running very hard. But Joe Mixon showed the talent why he was drafted in the second round and showed the talent of why he's going to be a fantasy commodity, Matt, going forward, potentially as soon as week 4.
And week 4, he's at Cleveland.
Oh, boy.
So, I mean, that's why you had that opportunity coming into this week to get him. Look, Jeremy Hill, this Jeremy Hill thing has to stop. I mean, seven carries.
Seven wasted carries.
Is 7 carries too much?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Giovanni Bernard will always be a part of this offense as long as he's healthy.
And I'm okay with that.
And yeah, that's fine.
I'm okay with that.
Because most backfields, you know, it's about getting enough touches. And if you look at Joe Mixon yesterday, 18 rushes, 3 targets, 3 receptions. So he had 21 touches. If he gets anywhere near that every week, you're going to be happy.
It's funny because back in the day, Scott, back in the old school of fantasy, when you had 2 running backs, that was running back by committee, something you avoid. In today's day and age, when you have 2 running backs, you're pumped because you understand their roles. It was where there's 3 running backs where it's frustrating and it's a bit of a committee. Matt's right. Giovanni Bernard's like going anywhere, and it doesn't make a difference to me as a Joe Mixon owner if he does or he doesn't, because Joe Mixon's going to have his role, and Gio have his role, and that's fine. I need Jeremy Hill to go away, and I think that's kind of the direction we're headed in.
Yeah, you know, I think he only had 6 carries yesterday. You know, hope he goes away for good. But I think he'll get a few here and there as like a physical inside runner type. But, you know, it's really about Mixon and Bernard, and yeah, you're okay with 2 running backs splitting the load sometimes, because if you overwork maybe 1 or 2 of them, you expose them more to injury, and I think NFL teams understand that. Then you know, by the same token, you know, Mixon, you know, they just did the smart thing yesterday. You look good as a runner and receiver, and we've seen in the past with Gio is if you use him too much, he gets banged up. Look how spry he looked, you know, on limited touches. He makes the most of every touch when he's out there.
Here's the thing I'll say. Get rid of Jeremy Hill and actually give Gio some more targets in the passing game. Because, I mean, he's only been targeted 2, 4, and 2.
Sure.
So this is a guy that should get more targets there. There's no need for Jeremy Hill. Joe Mixon can do what Jeremy Hill does. Maybe you want to say it's pass protection is where he's weakest at. That's always been that's one of the major concerns with all rookies coming into the league. But, I mean, come on. We know what Jeremy Hill is. There's no need to continue this nonsense.
No, there's not. And I'll tell you what, next year, if not this year, Joe Mixon's going, without Jeremy Hill there because he's a free agent, Joe Mixon's going to be a lot of fun. I think we'll see it as early as next week. So Green Bay survives in overtime over an 0-3 Cincinnati team. They win 27-24. Aaron Rodgers, remarkable as always. Let's go to the other major survivor team that just snuck by yesterday. That was the New England Patriots. Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, they'll never lose to a rookie quarterback. And never lose to a disciple of Bill Belichick.
I said that all week long. And you know what? Shout out to Deshaun Watson. I know Corey was a big fan at the draft and stuff. I didn't think this kid had a chance yesterday. Mm-hmm. I was dead wrong on that one. Dead wrong. Lucky to win, to stay alive in Survivor. And, you know, Brandon Cooks is good at football. I know people were worried yesterday. I know somebody tried to call me out on Twitter, then erased the tweet.
Sure.
But I had to hold him responsible. Remember Rick Rosen, who was on the show when we do that fantasy kind of thing? He tried to call me out, and then when Brandon Cooks went off, he deleted the tweet.
Yeah, you know, Brandon Cooks helped save the game for the Patriots, who, again, it's funny, and I wasn't really watching this game in all honesty because I had a lot of the Giants on at the time, but Tom Brady, I was just never worried. I really was never worried. And as good as Deshaun Watson did look, I just was not worried when you have Tom Brady on your side with the game in your hands. Brady was just superb yesterday.
Oh, I was terrified, I'm going to be honest with you. Even on that last drive. I mean, George, there was one play that should have been intercepted.
Sure.
And the defender dropped the ball.
Yeah, this just became like a slugfest between the two quarterbacks. And, you know, just a real, real, how should I say, a landmark game for Deshaun Watson early in his career.
You're giving me a slugfest between two quarterbacks. I have Brady.
You do.
Great, perfect.
You do, but you give Deshaun Watson a hell of a lot of credit for the way that he played.
Now
you see why he deserves to start. You know, he looked erratic last week, but he really, really picked it up this week. The mobility, the arm strength, the poise, it was all there.
That jump in 10 days was quite impressive. I mean, maybe you want to just say the Patriots' defense is just god-awful, but still, going on the road in Gillette Stadium, well done.
I will say this as well. When you have the coaches that the Texans have, which all come from New England, which all know New England's defense, as well as literally any team in the league can, it worked.
I don't care, though. This is a rookie quarterback.
I'm not taking anything away from the performance.
I'm just saying.
I'm just telling you why we may have should have seen this coming a little bit more than we did. I'm not taking anything away from Deshaun Watson's performance. Brady throws for 378 and 5 yesterday. The major touchdowns go to Brandon Cooks, who has his biggest game of the year by far. 5 for 131 and 2. Rob Gronkowski all over the field yesterday. 8 for 89 and 1 on 10 targets. And Chris Hogan, man, you Chris Hogan truthers, you've nailed it thus far. 4 for 68. 2 touchdowns. I believe almost all of this comes in the first half. Unfortunately for us, Matt, James White just disappeared in this one.
Yeah, I actually put James White in my lineup in my biggest league. I had Ingram in there, but I was very nervous about the Carolina defense.
Yeah.
I mean, Carolina just shit the bed yesterday, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. But I put James White in there, and that didn't go well.
No.
I thought he'd be targeted a lot more. They really weren't throwing the ball to him. But look, just going to get back to Brandon Cooks real quick. That week one, he had those 3 receptions at 88 yards. He had 3 pass interference penalties on him.
Yep.
I mean, one in the end zone where he almost made a great catch. And even last week, he got tackled on the 1-yard line. He caught a pass. So if he had a touchdown in each of the first 2 games, coming in, everybody would have been looking at him differently.
Yeah, question. There were some injuries in the Houston secondary that they certainly took advantage of, et cetera. This is why, you know, somebody like Jake will say he just hates the New England running backs because, like, none of them were useful yesterday. Like, White, Gillislee, you know, Burkhead was out. You didn't even see anything from Deion Lewis. You know, it was really all about the passing game. You know, Gronk played through the injury, and he played well. And Chris Hogan, like you said, he's really stepped up with Edelman out.
Well, I'll say this. I mean, you could call out Jake for this is why I don't like any of the Patriots running backs. But you know what? This is why I do. Because none of them did anything. So it wasn't like it was one we didn't predict went off, right? It wasn't like all of a sudden Deion Lewis stepped up or all of a sudden Brandon Bolden somehow back on this team and he had a game. running backs have bad games. We've seen plenty of our running backs this year have bad games. The fact that none of them went off doesn't bother me so much, in that I still know what the running game is here. Like, all right, we were wrong this week on Mike Gillislee. That's fine. We were wrong this week on James White. That's fine. But it wasn't like these other running backs went off here in New England. The guys that we still believe in, Mike Gillislee as a touchdown maker, James White in the passing game, the snaps are still there. I'm okay with this. It just had a bad game.
With Gillislee, it's got to be, you know, like you have to have somebody like catch a pass at the three and in order for it to happen.
That's
it,
not true.
It will happen very often, but you know, when they're throwing the ball as much as they have, as much as they did yesterday, you figured White would have a bigger role.
Here's the counter argument too. Like, say you invested in Jordan Howard, DeMarco Murray. I know I benched DeMarco Murray in the GST.
Yeah.
You probably benched DeMarco Murray yesterday.
Definitely.
I did.
You might have benched Jordan Howard because you were worried about that AC sprain in the shoulder.
Sure.
I know a lot of people were probably benching him.
Yep.
And I even seen on Twitter some really smart, great players that benched him for Buck Allen. So, you know, guys, you invested a first or second round pick you were benching yesterday, too.
Listen, as I said, I'm not killing the Patriots running game here, as this is why we hate them, because as long as you give me the two guys that I have the roles that I expect, I'm okay. That's literally all I'm looking for the Patriots running game. Let's go to the other side. Let's go to the Texans running game here, where Lamar Miller once again led the team in carries with 14 of them. It was once again Deontay Foreman that looked better. Not necessarily the carries. He had 8 for 25. He didn't do much there. It was when he got in the open field on one of his two receptions, or both of his receptions in all honesty, where he had two of them for 65 yards. He's actually the second on the team in yards behind DeAndre Hopkins. He had a good game here. 7 for 76 and 8 targets. And it looks like, Scotty, this is really what DeAndre Hopkins needed, a serviceable quarterback. And at least through one game, Deshaun Watson looks to be that guy.
Yeah, like we were saying all along, you know, as long as it's not Brock Osweiler, it's, you know, it's got to look up. Well, we didn't even really get to see Savage, much of Savage. But,
well, you didn't trust me when I told you he sucks.
Yeah, well, I don't think anybody said he was good.
You did, actually. You believed that he would be able to get DeAndre Hopkins the ball and be serviceable. That was the word you used.
As long as Brock Osweiler was not there, there was some hope. But there's obviously more hope with Deshaun Watson
in
there.
Hope.
And as soon as he came in, you know, you could see that.
I'll tell you, well, in fairness to Scott, even Jason Braddock was on the record saying that
absolutely,
he was going to be the starter for the first 6 weeks
absolutely,
at least, and all that. And so
dead wrong around the Texans, because Deshaun Watson, more talented. And that's the question. You know what? Give the talented guy a shot.
He is, but once again, I'll state, the leap he made in these last 10 days, when you watched that game versus the Bengals, he did not look like he was ready as a passer. I mean, look, that broken play where he ran for 49 yards, that's part of his talent package, but...
Yeah, and if this is the young quarterback, though, he could actually go out next week and throw no touchdowns and three interceptions, because he's young.
Absolutely. Let me ask this of you, Matt. Yesterday, Ryan Griffin had 5 receptions, 61 yards, a touchdown on 6 targets, and I get it. Ryan Griffin is not... You don't really want a tight end on a team that isn't all that good. But the tight end position, we were just talking about this during the break. You have Gronk, who's been really, really good. You have Zach Ertz, who's been fantastic. And there's no other tight end, seemingly, maybe Delanie Walker, that you can count on. Is Ryan Griffin a tight end that we need to look at?
Look, he's got a young quarterback. They usually like to throw to the tight end.
Dollar making holiday there, folks. Ryan Griffin for a dollar. Take a break. We're going to come back. Everybody hated Jordan Howard, except for one person. That person gets to gloat today here on the Roto Experts in the Morning.
Are you new to Daily Fantasy? Are you a veteran? Either way, you can better your chances of winning money, and lots of it, by going to DailyRoto.com. Multiple people have become millionaires thanks to the guys at Daily Roto. Why not take advice from the experts? You can become a millionaire too. Just go to DailyRoto.com to rock Daily Fantasy Sports.
We're back here with you on the Roto Experts of the Morning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And at this time, I'd like to bring in our co-host, good friend, host of Fantasy Football Frenzy. It's Fantasy Executive Coordinator.
Am I your friend?
I like to think so. You're my best,
yes,
my best
I am
friend.
Your friend. How yes. you doing? Yeah, we are best friends.
So there you go.
How about that?
How about that? How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much. You know what I mean? A nice day of NFL football yesterday. Saw some good things happen on the field. Had a good week. So I feel pretty confident about where these teams are going. You know what I'm saying? The Crow Show didn't take place. So you can at me.
There you go. We'll get to Isaiah Crowell coming up here in a little
bit. We don't have
bit.
To.
I'd like to.
Terrell Pryor didn't do nothing to
you. Yeah. We'll get to him in a few moments as well.
Neither did Eddie Lacy.
We'll get to Eddie Lacy. Yeah.
Stephon Diggs did crush it once
Stephon
again.
Diggs was something.
He's a beast.
We'll get to all these guys, of course, coming up over the next 3 hours. Now, let's talk about Jordan Howard. Because almost everybody, every analyst, every fan, everybody hated Jordan Howard, not this week, but really going forward. And, you know, a lot of this for me was as a Jordan Howard owner. And I was just like, crap, man. Like, I said a lot of words other than crap. But, you know, I felt very, very bad about myself because a lot of smart people told me how much of a terrible situation I am currently in. And a lot of smart people, including Corey Parson, was like, listen, when the smart money came in, nobody touched Jordan Howard. And this is what you need to know. That's what matters. So after week one, all the talk was about Tariq Cohen. And I think, you know, to be fair here, I think we kind of overlooked that Jordan Howard had a pretty damn solid game in week one. Scored a touchdown, led the team in carries, led the team in snaps. But he didn't look as good as Tariq Cohen. Wasn't as flashy. Admittedly so. Week two, he was brutal, right? Those 7 carries for 9 yards, and Tariq Cohen was so much better. But then you get to week three. It's a very bad matchup for the Bears' offensive line, so we thought. It's a Pittsburgh run defense that's been good through the first 2 weeks. And Frank Stanfel actually had a really good point about this. He's like, listen, I think 2 weeks is an unfair amount of time, an unfair sample size to make an opinion on how good or bad a situation is. Right? We look at this Pittsburgh run defense, like, oh, this is good, this is a bad situation. And it proved not to be nearly as bad of a situation as we thought yesterday. With the return of Kyle Long and with Jordan Howard off the injury report on Friday, there was at least a glimmer of optimism when it came to Jordan Howard. Now, Jordan Howard went off yesterday. 23 carries, 138 yards. 2 touchdowns, including the game winner when Tariq Cohen was called out. We said that if all goes right in this Bears offense, this is Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman. It's both running backs having a major, major role. That is what happened. And that includes in the passing game for both players. Because not only did Jordan Howard lead this team in rushing, he led this team in receiving, too. With 5 catches for 26 yards on a day where Mike Glennon completed one single pass to a wide receiver. Tariq Cohen at 4 catches for 24 yards was very, very quiet until the monster run in overtime. 12 carries, 78 yards. I believe, gentlemen, that calls for Jordan Howard's demise may have been slightly premature.
When we always talk about matchups, people like last week saying, oh, should I bench Dez, you know, et cetera. They're always assuming the defense is going to win. The offensive line is a lot of times going to win against a good defensive line, and, you know, that's what we saw yesterday. The Bears have a good offensive line, but you give a lot of credit to Jordan Howard. I even saw it early in the game. I said, this guy's running really hard. Like, he was dishing out some big hits to that Pittsburgh Steelers front seven. And this is what this offense is about. It's about the running backs. Because, like I've been saying, you know, there are no receivers that I really want a part of in that offense. It doesn't look like anybody's going to step up. You know, Zach Miller really wasn't a thing yesterday either. You know, this is all about the running backs. It's the old thunder and lightning. You know, it's Howard and Cohen. And that's what the offense is going to be, what it looks like.
Here's the thing, if you break it down. And I was taking a premature victory lap on Jordan Howard on Friday night. I'll admit that fully. But the first 2 weeks, Jordan Howard had 22 rush attempts for 59 yards. Yesterday, he had 23 rushing attempts for 138 yards. He still trails Tariq Cohen in points after 3 weeks. I mean, it's only like 4 or 5 points, something like that. So, look, hey, kudos to Jordan Howard. I know a lot of smart people benched him yesterday for players like Buck Allen and stuff. You had to be concerned if you owned him, you know, hearing about the sprained AC joint in the shoulder and all that. But, hey, he got the job done yesterday.
Yeah, he obviously did yesterday. And you had very fair reasons to be concerned, Rob. I'm not saying you didn't. But yesterday, this summer, all the stats Corey put it out, like there was no statistical reason that Jordan Howard should drop off. It was just a lot of people have bad feelings. And I really don't want to underestimate the impact here of Kyle Long coming back on this offensive line. He's their best offensive lineman. Created a lot of running room yesterday.
I think that really did play a role in it, in helping him get open and get to the holes and stuff like that. Also, Pittsburgh on the road is a thing, too. You feel what I'm saying? So you got to take that into consideration also. I know you don't want to bank on that, but, yeah, it is too early to write him off, Jordan Howard, based on exactly what he did last season. He ran in situations like this also. I'm not the highest guy on the guy. I would continue to sell.
You're going to use this opportunity to really sell
off? I would use it as a selling opportunity.
Listen, I can't disagree with that.
Hey, look, you guys on Best Friends Forever last week or week or so were talking about you would trade Jordan Howard for Tariq Cohen.
So that was my question for this table now. Jordan Howard has this monster game. Tariq Cohen still had a fine game. Again, a lot of that did come in overtime. Would you today? And everybody last week said they would do it, right?
In PPR, I would do it.
Everybody said last week they would do it. I got to ask now, after this game, would you today trade Jordan Howard for Tariq Cohen? Matt says in the PPR, he is in.
I'm going to take the sell high approach with Corey Parsons.
I'm going to take it. In the PPR, I would do it.
You're trading Jordan Howard today for Tariq Cohen.
Yep.
King.
It's a wash to me. You know, it's because I feel like one's going to get touchdowns, one's going to get more catches. But it's very, very close. But in a PPR, I'd probably want the catches. So, you know, I would go with these
guys.
But
here's the difference, too. There's one guy that has a supposed sprained AC joint in his shoulder,
too. Absolutely. So. And who, let's be fair, every time he got knocked down, he didn't get up so quickly. You know, he just did it. You can see the highlights behind us here.
I think Corey said it best, where this is an opportunity where you get to sell high. I did it with LeSean McCoy. I'm not saying LeSean McCoy is never going to have a good game this year. But after playing the Jets week one and doing what he did, I knew that was my opportunity to sell and get out in trade leagues where I owned them.
Okay. For the Steelers, the mantra always is they cannot play on the road. This is a different team away from Heinz Field. And you know what? The narrative held true again.
I didn't see it, but when we were doing Fantasy Football Live, I know one of the first plays of the game,
yep.
George Kurtz said that Martavis Bryant was like wide open. Mm-hmm.
Wide open, the ball bounced right off his hands.
Look, you know, yeah. look like Sammy Coates out there.
Yeah.
For the Steelers, 10 catches, 110 yards, touchdown for Antonio Brown, ho-hum.
Le'Veon Bell finally got one.
Le'Veon Bell finally gets to the end of it. I felt like all of the Twitterverse were just waiting for that to happen. 15-61 for him. 6 receptions, 37 yards for Le'Veon Bell. And when Martavis Bryant drops a ball like that, this is the issue with Martavis Bryant. 2 catches, 30 yards, despite 8 targets.
Yeah, it's, you know, that's his day. Boom or bust. You know, he hauls in that bomb early in the game. You know, you're talking about Martavis Bryant in a different narrative today. You know, the talent is there. He did what he needed to do to get open, but, you know, the play wasn't completed. You know, Bryant's going to be boom or bust. You know, and, you know, Corey's right. The Steelers road thing, it's a thing. So you might want to consider Bryant at home instead of the road and have him as a streamer.
I'm buying Bryant. And, look, he only has 3 touchdowns on the road in his career. He's got 22 in that short span. But if you look at week one and yesterday, Ben on the road has looked for him deep. They haven't connected, whether Ben overshot him or he dropped the ball. This kid is so talented. He's so good. I think this is the buying opportunity that you want.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you. Would you trade? I understand a lot of us need blah, blah, blah. Would you trade Jordan Howard for Martavis Bryant?
No.
No.
Guaranteed touches of Jordan Howard. As long as he's healthy, he's guaranteed to touch the football.
Yeah. Okay.
For me, I think it's really intriguing because it's how do you view it? Do you view this injury that Howard has at some point is going to cause him to be out? That's the way I'm looking at it. When somebody has an injury already, you know, it just takes one more solid hit to mess that shoulder up. So, I mean, I don't know. I think I may consider that.
Okay. The Steelers fall to the Bears. Bit of an upset here, 23-17. And the Bears, as we kind of said earlier on in the program, they should be 2-1. And it should be just that simple. They should be 2-1 here on the year. And instead, they're at 1-2. But they get a big win at Soldier Field at home. They now have the short week against Green Bay. And say this about Jordan Howard. It's a short week for that shoulder to get ready. And you trade him before
he looked good yesterday. Just like
no question.
Very, very physical. He didn't let it deter him. As far as they should be, well, they're not. They didn't do what it takes to win against Atlanta.
Listen,
I think that they are what their record says they are.
Every team is what their record says they are. I'm not arguing against it, but I'm just saying that the Bears being as terrible as I think we thought, you know, maybe 6 days ago at this time.
Right, they're more respectable than we thought. Yeah, I agree with that.
That's all I'm trying to say. All right. You know, I know coming up next, we're going to be hearing from Ryan Zimmerman, I believe, of the Washington Nationals.
Yeah.
And he's going to be talking about Isaiah Crowell. And I think we're going to have an Isaiah Crowell conversation as well. As Corey backs away from the table, it looks like he's getting up. He has taken his headphones off. He has gotten up from the table. And he is currently walking out of the room, it seems.
Right. Corey not talking to the media today.
Corey's refused to talk to the media in regards to Isaiah Crowell. We'll try to get him back here, and we'll see what we can do. We'll talk Browns and Colts, Isaiah Crowell included, when we return. Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Ezekiel Elliott. Carl Anthony Towns. Corey Seager. Those are the rookies of the year, much like the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The fastest growing fantasy sports network on radio is completely free, 24/7. Listen to us live at fntsy.com/radio or download the app right now in the Google Play Store or on iTunes. Scotty, and no longer are in your survivor pool, well, then you should go to FantasyFactor.com because you can play daily fantasy sports. Fantasy Factor is the perfect daily fantasy site for the casual recreational player. Flatter prize pool, smaller field, single entry contest only. Fantasy Factor is running a $50 weekly NFL contest that is free. Sign up now. Enter at www.FantasyFactor.com. Sign up right now. You also may want to go to FantasyFactor.com. If you are an Isaiah Crowell owner. And we're going to get an Isaiah Crowell in a moment because, Scott, you had an opportunity to chat with Ryan Zimmerman in regards to Isaiah Crowell.
Yeah, Ryan Zimmerman of the Washington Nationals is having one of the best seasons of his career as the Nationals have won the division. And Ryan is my final trip to the ballpark for this season. Spoke to him. He's been playing fantasy football ever since he entered in the majors in 2005. And I talked to him about his early season his early season prospects, and he talked to me about his concerns about Isaiah Crowell heading into this week.
Crowell right now. they've had two tough matchups, though, and he's still gotten, you know, 15 or so carries, it seems like. So I think if they keep giving him the ball, he'll be fine by the end. He's got to get some better matchups.
So he had confidence going into yesterday against Indianapolis, like a lot of his owners. It was a pivotal game, and you can hear the full interview with Ryan Zimmerman about his 2017 fantasy football season on Audio Boom, iTunes, and Google Play.
You can, and a lot of people had belief and hope in Isaiah Crowell, including the man on my left, Mr. Corey Parson. Yesterday in the Browns, 31-28 loss, Isaiah Crowell, 12 carries, 44 yards, chipped in 2 receptions for 10 yards. Are you nervous about your boy?
Yeah, I'm starting to get nervous about Crow because it's not... First of all, you've seen that the Browns are continuing to play from a negative game script, which causes Deshaun Kizer to throw the football a lot. I think they're second in the NFL in passing attempts right now, so that's not really going to work when you got a back like Crowell who needs to get fed the ball between the tackles. And not to mention the fact was even making it even worse. I mean, you could take the 12 for 44 with the 2 catches, but give me a touchdown with that. With Deshaun Kizer running in these touchdowns now, that really, really puts a damper on it. So, I mean, I'm hanging in there with the dude, but because you can't sell him right now because nobody don't want no parts of him. But I'm gonna keep rolling with him.
It's interesting. The owner of Isaiah Crowell in my league actually did sell him this past week.
Good.
Which
For what?
Good for him.
What did he get for him?
The trade that we saw last week was, hold on 1 second, let me see exactly. It was, wow, it was Isaiah Crowell and Kendall Wright. It was a great trade he made. Isaiah Crowell and Kendall Wright for Tariq Cohen and Pierre Garçon.
Wow, that was a good trade on his part.
Wait a minute, what would he trade him to?
He traded another team in the league.
My, who, Stevie Wonder in your league? That's crazy.
Well, it's before this weekend. You're getting Isaiah Crowell, who people believe had a good game. You traded for Pierre Garçon, wow, who obviously had a great game Thursday night, and you bought on Tariq Cohen. You know, I get it.
It's interesting, you know, Corey talks about no touchdowns, you know, like Deshaun Kaiser, was that Duke Johnson who ended up getting a touchdown yesterday?
It was.
Duke Johnson. Nice play, too.
Duke Johnson, a big game yesterday.
That was a beautiful touchdown.
6 catches, 81 yards for the Duke. And he also had a touchdown on the ground, 2 for 23 rushing. And everyone's favorite waiver wire pickup from last week was Rashard Higgins. He had the same amount of catches as Isaiah Crowell did.
Oh, he had Rashard one more than me.
two more.
And you were open.
Yeah.
After that game versus the Colts, buyer's remorse is a thing right now. But look, if you bought them, you paid a nice price and you stuck with them.
Yeah, you did. Like, and I do want to say this though, Corey and Matt, you guys also both said, yeah, Rashard Higgins is a thing, but let's throw that dollar on Kenny Britt, because if people are dropping Kenny Britt, I want to make sure I get him.
What I did say was, it's not the week to cut Kenny Britt. You had to give him at least that one more opportunity. Supposedly they spoke to him, you know. So he obviously didn't cash the check. He didn't cash and run just yet. He had a good week.
3 for 54 and a touchdown for Kenny Britt. By far led this team in targets with 10. It's funny because last week everyone's about Rashard Higgins. People dropped Kenny Britt. I think people are going to be back in the mix on him. Take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about the Colts. What about Jacoby Brissett? And if he is now a fantasy thing, despite just throwing one touchdown yesterday, and if all the skill players around Jacoby Brissett can be a thing, as well as the other quarterbacks yesterday that we thought would suck, had a really good game. We'll break it down in hour number 2, next on the Roto Experts.